Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, I'm Alan Cumming, and welcome to My Shelves. My shelves are sort of a museum of my life. I like to keep things from my travels that are, to me anyway, the very essence of the experiences I've had. Sort of portals, if you will, to a specific time and place. And the inspiration for stories and memories and musings. Here's my invitation to the White House, framed from President and Mrs. Clinton for a cocktail party, which I wasn't able to attend because I missed my plane. Here's a lighter, one of those ones with petrol in it that you flick up like this, you know? And it's from the Vanity Fair dinner that I went to at the Oscars a couple of years ago, and it's got a quote on the side that says, "As you get older, the pickings get slimmer, but the people sure don't." That's from Carrie Fisher. And today, I'm talking to my dear old besties, Susie Gorgeous and Andrew St. Clair.
So it started off, Susie and I, getting on the boat, this rather tragic middle-aged couple. And it was only 3 days or 4 days of cruise, so what a moment.
Yeah, we thought.
What if Alan never appears and we're just this tragic couple?
Welcome, bienvenue, welcome. I met Susie Gorgeous in 1993 because she was my dresser when I played the MC in Cabaret for the first time in London. And I met Andrew a few months earlier in 1993, when he auditioned for either Rosencrantz or Guildenstern in the production I did of Hamlet. Nowadays, Susie runs charities and arts companies, and Andrew does a variety of things. He's been a lampshade designer, a Steadicam operator, an olive farmer. He makes films. He is a true polymath. And the two of them are just darlings and two of my best friends in the whole wide world. The item from my shelves that we're discussing today is a photograph. I'm going to put this photograph on my Instagram so you can all see it. It's taken in 1997 when we were on a trip. Andrew and Sue are standing on a street. There's a sort of little festival going on behind them. The street is closed off, and Susie is wearing a T-shirt with an image on it. Andrew is sort of bending over down towards her. He's got one hand pointing at something on Sue's T-shirt, and the other hand is open underneath it with a sugar cube on it. And here's our attempt to explain to you what the hell was going on. I just, like, just, we should probably tell people where were we when all this happened?
We were in France.
On a road trip.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, there's a sort of, we've got a bit of a horsey theme going between the three of us, haven't we?
Yes, we're connected by equine.
Yeah, was it on that time? Every time we saw a horse, did you tell us that your mum, Susie, would say when you were bored on a drive, "Look, Pony Susie." So every time we saw anything with a horse on that drive, we'd go, "Pony Susie, Pony Susie."
Yeah, my mum, she did it. Yeah, she did it.
We ended
it every
up buying
time.
That T-shirt as a result, I think. Wasn't that T-shirt bought on that trip because it was Pony
yes,
Susie?
Yes, it was. Yeah,
yeah,
there
exactly.
were an inordinate amount of ponies on that trip, I have to say. It seems endlessly we were shouting, Pony Susie.
I think
Pony
we picked anything.
Susie.
We picked anything that looked even remotely pony-like, didn't we? Like a sort of pony
yes.
symbol.
Yes.
Or a saddle.
Pony
anything.
Susie.
Pony Susie.
So what, we flew to Toulouse, was it?
Me and you flew to Toulouse. And
yes.
I think we might have flown. Yeah, we flew to Toulouse and then we hired a car and drove over to Carcassonne where we saw Josephine and her family for a few days. Do you
That's
remember
right.
That?
We stayed there. Remember, we stayed there and drank a lot.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
And then where did we pick you up, Andrew?
Then we went back to Toulouse and picked Andy up.
Yeah, you picked me up in Toulouse. And then we stayed the night in Toulouse on those weird hotels that have kind of stacks of beds and funny angles. Do you remember that? Sort of motel
yes.
called something like J75 or something. And they have
oh,
weird,
yes. Like
weird
bunks
kind of beds.
Almost.
Yeah, with ladders and weird kind of ends of beds poking out. Exactly.
So we were going to spend down to the south of France near Saint-Tropez to stay at this place called Le Nid du Duc, which is we were staying with a bunch of friends. It's beautiful, beautiful sort of, I don't know what you call it, estate or
it was almost like a little villa. Hamlet, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Didn't
yes.
Tony
it
Richardson
was a Hamlet,
died.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yes, it was funny because in the very one of the first episodes of Alan Cumming's shows, I talked to Ian McKellen and he stayed there.
That's right. I heard that.
Yeah, he'd stayed there, and we were talking about it. So many people, so many greats of the showbiz world had stayed there.
And it was but, and that very pool, the famous pool, the David Hockney featured pool.
Yeah, the picture portrait of an artist pool with two figures. Is and it's funny actually. I was looking that so that's the famous picture where there's a man in a red jacket looking standing on the edge of the pool, and there's somebody in the pool, and the view behind them. It's like as if like say you were lying down and your legs were wide open a bit and sort of a V, and your head was looking. So your view would be like it's almost like from the pool you're like looking at two legs. You see what I mean? Open. Mm. And there was in the David Hockney, there's just that's what it looks like. But now or then when we went there and I took a picture, there's a big tree has grown up in the middle of the legs. It's almost like someone's got a very bushy bush right in the middle. And so that's what's happened to the. So the view's been spoiled by a big sort of bush, but it's a tree.
Had a real adventure, didn't we, driving down to Nuit du Duc, the three of us. It was the most hilarious and fabulous road trip of a lifetime.
I remember one time place we went to and we couldn't get any rooms at the hotel. There was no rooms at the inn, any of the inns, and as we were as it was happening, I kept seeing more and more people in wheelchairs. And I remember thinking, oh, this is good. Good for disability access. People are accessible here. Lots of disabled people are staying here. That's really good. I remember thinking that's really positive thing. Then we realised we're in a little, what do you call it? Like Lourdes, a place where people were coming.
Yeah, it wasn't Lourdes, but it was a place like Lourdes, wasn't it? It was a Catholic sort of healing spa.
Yes. So that was,
We tried to go. I think we first of all heard it was a spa. So got quite excited by the idea of going and wallowing in bubbly waters and stuff. And we arrived there. They said, and where's your medical report? And we're like, we haven't got a medical report. But what disability do you have? And you're only allowed in if you had a disability. So we rejected back into our rather gloomy hotel without bubbling in the waters.
I forgot about that. Yes. Did we not get into one? I remember being in a thing with you, Andrew. Didn't we get into one?
Did we there or later on? I remember
was that later
on in Avignon, was it? No, Arles. Do you remember Arles we went to? That was kind of day three or four or something. And it was boiling, boiling, boiling hot. And we had lunch near the kind of bullring thing.
Is that where we had the eggs?
I think it could have been eggs. Yeah, there were a lot of eggs.
Do you remember? We were all having lunch.
Tell us about the eggs, Susie. Yeah.
We were all having lunch and I don't like egg white. And
oh, really? Oh, I've never known that.
I always act like I talk about it non-stop as if it's my only subject.
By the way, I don't actually eat egg white. I don't.
And we sat in this restaurant and you both kept on asking me questions about my dislike for egg white, while meanwhile piling in my plate with all your
one
egg
of us,
white.
Yeah, one of us would like distract you and get you into conversation, and the other one would put lots of egg white on your plate, and then the other one would like ask you a question, and I would do it. It was just like, so there was a mound of egg white on your plate. It was growing and growing and growing.
We'd all ordered, eggy dish, hadn't we? But the idea was, and I think it did work, didn't it? Every time you looked away, there was like, oh, this is rather more egg white. As you would pile the egg white to the side of your plate, saying, I don't actually like egg white. I can't eat egg white. And then somebody would ask you again, another great blob of egg white would arrive on your plate. You scraped aside.
Andrew, you're the most unfussy eater I've ever met in my life. You'll eat anything, really, won't you?
Yes, within reason.
There's not many foods you dislike. Obviously, you don't like your mum's cooking.
No, I'm not keen on my mum's cooking. She was very keen on things like kind of oxtail and tongue. And
oh, yuck.
So, but I had to eat it. I wonder if I had to eat it. I did eat it. I was always starving when I was a child, so I did eat it. But I draw the line at kind of offal nowadays. I don't really eat meat now either, but I was never very keen on kidneys. It just tastes of wee to me.
Of wee?
So, yeah, they don't seem... Well, I think it's also because my mum, when she would go for these kind of food crazes, she'd buy a tongue, for instance. And the first time she'd go through the whole process of taking all those layers of tongue skin off with the taste buds on them. And as the tongue became a habit, she couldn't be bothered to peel the layers off anymore. So you'll be eating the tongue, feeling in your mouth the tongue's tongue, like you're actually tonguing that cow.
Oh, my tongue already feels quite weird as you say it.
So that kind of put me off that. God. And then also, I think I think with the kidneys, she got bored of washing the kidneys too, so she didn't bother to wash. You had to wash them 50 times, like, to get all the wee and stuff out. We just had, that'll do after 30. And that was us, wee-covered, coloured, flavoured kidneys.
Wait a minute. 50 times you actually have, that's the rule, to wash a kidney?
I don't know. I know they're very, all that awful stuff is incredibly labour-intensive to prepare. You have to get rid of all the kind of hideous gallbladder juice and wee and what have you.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, my mother just got bored, and this'll do. And so there we were, plugging these awful little cubes of furry tongue into our mouths. Or slightly wee-flavoured kidneys. Deviled kidneys, were they called? Lovely
deviled
70s dish.
I remember being in a sort of a square in a little town, having a delicious boozy lunch, and we saw a little t-shirt stall, and that's when we saw...
Oh, yes, but this is where we're going.
Yes, I'm just trying to guide us back to the point of the story. So what did we see, Suze?
So we saw, after many, many horsey viewings on the trip, we actually found the most fabulous horse t-shirt, and it was just a picture of a horse's face, and the horse, and I've got quite big boobs, and Alan, I think, did you both club together to buy me the t-shirt? I can't remember.
I think we did.
Probably
did,
yeah.
Bought me the t-shirt, and I put it on, and the horse's nose was like, it's like on my boobs.
It became 3D. It was now a 3D horse.
Exactly. So the nose was like my left boob.
And so that right underneath your, like where its mouth was the sort of underneath your boob. And so that made for, yeah, that made for many, like we would steal sugar cubes from cafes to feed our friend Horsey.
And what you do is you stand a bit further away from me with the sugar cube and go.
And the flat hand. Remember, it's very important. The flat hand we'd learn from our pony training as children.
And you'd go, Susie, come on. Come on. And I would gallop over and put the horse's nose into your flat hand to eat the sugar lump. You know, normal friendship stuff.
Endless fun. Like, what must people have thought of us that these crazy British people with a girl with a big, huge, sticky out horse's
skin
face,
skin tight
t-shirt, placing her boobs on the hand of her friends, which contained sugar cubes.
Caroline, horse lover, loved that t-shirt so much. I had to give it to her on that trip.
That's right. I remember that. She lobbied hard for it, really hard. But you came lots of times to visit me in New York when I moved to New York. And one particular time, I remember I had a New Year's Eve party. And I remember I had that quite swanky flat, that big flat in Chelsea.
Yeah.
And when I was still doing cabaret, and it was a crazy night, and I was having fun DJing, and we're all running around. And remember that was the crazy night when Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman came.
Yes.
Because I'd done that.
I don't know if you remember, but all of the, like quite a lot of the crew from the Almeida came as well, because I was there seeing you, but also the Almeida were putting on a play in BAM. And so like loads of people like Igor and all of those people were there too.
Yeah.
So it was crazy. It was like crazy mixture of people.
When worlds collide.
Yeah.
It was so, so funny. But I remember Andrew just running around after all these boys on it. I remember one time looking over and Andrew had his hand against the wall. So sort of leaning with his arm against the wall. And there was a boy like between him and the wall looking kind of terrified and looking up at Andrew, slightly alarmed. And Andrew was almost like pinning him to the wall. And the next morning when we woke up and we were sort of having a post-mortem of the night, Andrew said, gosh, I don't know what happened to me last night. I was boy crazy last night. And we were all like, last night? You're always boy crazy.
No, it's boy frenzy. Boy frenzy.
Boy frenzy. That's right.
I know New York was like a kind of, it was, I mean, I guess I probably had a permanent kind of underlying boy frenzy. But in London, I seemed to get less kind of, I think maybe, was I still being an actor then? I can't remember. But I'd quite often in the early days of being an actor going out and about in London, I'd have some weird hairdo or hideous beard or something. So I'd go to a club and people would literally look to me like I was a kind of bubonic plague sufferer. And when I'd arrive and keep well, well clear. But when I arrived in New York, something about the accent, and maybe it's all the kind of showbiz of you, whatever, the sort of afterglow, it was just boy frenzy.
Celebrity wig.
Exactly. It was marvellous. So I enjoyed that.
And your own good looks, Andrew.
And
yes, I mean, come on.
Of course.
So, you know, we've continued to go on, although we don't see each other terribly often. We once in a while, we do these things where we have like besties only, so we don't take our significant others, and we go off on some sort of trip. And one of these trips was on kind of rather unusual for three adults with no children to go on. It was a Disney cruise, and the reason that we did it was I got a Disney cruise free. Did you remember that part?
Didn't you launch the ship by smashing a bottle of champagne on it?
No, Mariah Carey did that. I just went, oh. I attended. I was just sort of, you know, another celebrity there. I attended the launch. It was one of these things, I get invited to these crazy things all the time. It was like, would you like to go to the launch of a Disney cruise ship? And of course, I actually would love to do that, right? I was like, that would be hilarious. It's a party, there's a show, it's the launch of a Disney cruise ship. What a hoot. And they were going to send a car. And then they said, if you would come, we will give you a free cruise for three people. It was like a certain number of people and a certain number of nights and everything. And I was like, oh my God. So, but the thing was, I went to the thing. It was an absolute riot. It was very cold, I remember. But Mariah Carey came down these steps, the very glamorous central steps of the boat, with Mickey and Minnie on either side of her. And kind of did a thing where she, you know, sort of launched the boat from there, pressed a button, I think, and that sort of, you know, made the big, huge bottle of champagne smash on the side, because I think she was too much of a diva to go outside.
That was the very boat we were then on.
Yes, it was. It was the very boat we went on, because you remember where the flume, I remember when you walked along where that big flume thing came out. I remember walking along there in the freezing cold. To leave. So anyway, I ended up with this free, and I thought, what a fabulous thing for Susie and Andy to go on with me for one of our besties things. So it was a cruise of the Caribbean, and it was just the best fun, because
I loved it.
Everyone was sort of thinking, oh, it'll be awful, because it's all for kids and everything. Everyone's kids are lying, but that was the best thing about it, that nobody sort of bothered us, and we just drank and had a laugh.
But that's because nobody goes first class with their children on a Disney cruise. And so we had virtually the whole of the first class bit of the boat to ourselves, didn't we? It was so,
yes.
There was no children there. There was a couple of kind of weird Disney fanatics there.
Yes.
But generally,
Do you remember, you said it was unusual for three kind of adult people to go on their own, but do you remember it was nearly even more unusual because there was some massive storm off the coast of America, and we were all flying in from different places.
That's right.
I think I had to go via Canada, and Susie went somewhere else, and so you couldn't meet us. So it started off, Susie and I getting on the boat, this rather tragic middle-aged couple with no children, going on our own on a Disney cruise. And it was only 3 days or 4 days of cruise. So it was a moment we thought, what if Alan never appears? And we're just this tragic couple sitting there.
But I remember at one point
like
that you
son.
Were having... Yeah, but then I think at one point your plane was going to be delayed, and Susie, you were worried that you'd have to go on the Disney cruise alone. I remember I spoke to you, you were having a panic attack about that. And I was like, oh, it'll be fine, there'll be lots of people. But anyway, you two went on it, and I couldn't go. My flight was cancelled. So I had to fly the next day to the Bahamas and spend the night in a hotel in the Bahamas. And then I got sort of special, you know, Secret Service took me onto the boat or something, and it was
I remember
so
you arriving.
Hilarious.
I remember you arriving there, and everybody else had got off. They were all getting off to go to look around the Bahamas, and we couldn't quite be bothered. We just wanted to play with you. So you came onto the boat. We had most of the boat to ourselves, didn't we, that first afternoon?
Yeah.
Everybody else, you could see them all trailing around a Bahama.
But the boat was
beautiful, wasn't it?
It was beautiful.
I mean, so beautiful. I imagined it to be a bit like a sort of P&O ferry. You know those ones you get from sort of across, with sort of like just cutouts of Disney characters, and you know.
Yeah.
But it was so beautiful.
It was sumptuous. And the best thing for me was that we sort of, quite a lot of the time you had to wear costumes for various, you know, it's pirate night, it's blah, blah.
Didn't we wear pirate outfits the whole time?
Constantly. Yes, absolutely. I had just eye patch and a bandana with, you know, head and crossbones on it, skull and crossbones, and a sort of a sword and earrings, and we painted little moustaches on each other.
And a parrot. I mean, not a real parrot. We had a kind of,
that's right,
kind of nylon parrot, yes, didn't we, too?
Oh, that was the thing, because I'd bought loads of, like, costumes for us, and my luggage didn't come. I only had my hand luggage. So we had to, like, make do and mend, but we did very well, I have to say.
We just loved it. Well, you like wearing them, Alan, because you were in disguise.
Yeah, that
and
was
no
the best.
No one bothered
yeah.
you because you were wearing like your hair
as a pirate.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's great. And I loved having a moustache. I really enjoyed having a drawn-on moustache for my holiday.
Isn't that what happened to ladies of a certain age? Eventually, you will actually really have one, Susie.
Getting
in early, practicing how you'll style it early.
Hello, I'm Sam Walker. I've spent the last few months talking to this guy.
I'm a hunter. It's what I do.
He's called KC.
Our rules of engagement are pretty simple. If we have to pull a trigger on one person, they're all going to go.
He's an American vigilante.
And there is one of the biggest men I've ever seen. And he's got a knife in his hand.
He rescues kidnapped children.
There's no feeling in the world like putting a child back in the arms of its parents.
By any means necessary.
Well, it's ugly. You want me to make sure I don't hurt anybody?
He scares me.
And he kind of looked at me and I said, I swear to God, I said, if you do anything other than what I told you to do, I said, I'm going to kill you right here.
And he might scare you.
About got tears in your eyes right now just thinking about that, don't you?
Download the podcast, American Vigilante.
Download American Vigilante.
Out now.
Now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What else did we do on the Disney trip?
I remember we had that lovely day when they put us on a little sort of boat, like a mini boat, out to that island, Disney
Island.
Oh,
Zodiac.
And,
yes.
But that was so nice. And you could get like lovely cocktails. And we then went swimming with turtles. Do you remember?
Oh, we saw a turtle, and, that's right, yeah.
And we had a little cabana thing.
Yeah, little cottage, little cabana, exactly. That was lovely.
Yeah, that was really nice.
I love that.
It was a kind of, wasn't it an island that Disney owned or something? So yeah. Nobody living
Disney
on it.
Disney owns an island, yeah. It used to be, because remember when we were coming back and that little thing, we were going down what had been the runway. It used to be a military island by the US military, and planes landed there. And probably to be before they would take off and bomb people. So that actually, Disney bought this probably radioactive island, and now everyone's all jumping on it and swimming with
that's
turtles.
That's right. We were driven on little kind of buggies, weren't we, from the boat across that runway to our different cottages. And there was one guy that got chatting with Susie and at the end wanted her telephone number. And she said, no, thanks. I'm not going to give you my telephone number.
No, he said he was like being a really like big fan. He was a big fan of Alan's.
Oh, was that it? Doing
that thing when they sort of often Alan's fans sort of try and be your friend.
Yes.
And he wanted to sort of come and visit me in London. Or get together.
I remember him, that American guy. Yes.
Yeah, I remember. And I remember saying, he's going, can I give you my card? And I went, no, thank you. And Alan remember saying to me, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to take the card and say,
I never called
them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do. Does that happen a lot? Like people, we never talked about this, but people wanting to, like you feel people are wanting to be friends with you because they're trying to get to me, because they're fuckers.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually like rather than like long term things. It's like if you're out for the night,
the immediacy of that moment, isn't it? People sort of see you and then see us, and then we come and chatter. I mean, eyes completely glazed, talking to us, watching your every move, waiting for you to peel off who you're talking to and come back to us. So not remotely interested in us. There's usually no fooling that we're going to be swapping numbers.
Is that not awful?
Nah.
Nah, it's fine. They usually get them when you come over, they go away again. If they haven't got, I guess, their kind of introduction, they've gone.
Then they'll stay around.
But we've always done that thing, haven't we? Like we'll go out and we've almost got like secret code of when it's time to get rid of people or when you need us by your side. You know, you'll kind of give us a little.
You've always been really. I guess you've been both my friends from really when I first became sort of famous like that. It's always been a thing, just starting and when we first, I don't know. So I always feel you two really understand it. You've been with me all through it. And it's sort of, it is really comforting when we're out together. What I think is really funny is I'm sort of, trying to tell people here I always need to have a destination. I always need to know where I'm going. When I go into a room and there's people and it's a sort of an event or something like that, I always need to know that I'm going to end up at a table over there and like that's where my friends are or whatever. That my worst fear is going into a room like that in one of those environments and just being at sea and everyone can get you and you're just sort of like this, you're being spun around to all different people. And so it's that thing of, you have to sort of guide people to what you need, and my thing is always like, where am I going? Where am I going? Where will I be comfortable? You know.
But you're really great, Alan, because you like fans are they wouldn't know that you want to get away. You're very kind of not always you do want to get away, but sometimes it's nice at all. But you are very sort of. Patient, like and I think there are times when, of course, that's your job and that's what you're doing. But other times when the three of us are out, when actually all we want to do is muck about
have fun.
And talk to each other. And I think it's kind of knowing those times, isn't it? When to kind of swerve people.
Well, that's when you have to sort of say, I'm like, Meryl Streep. She says this thing which I think is so fantastic that she. Like she was in the supermarket. My friend Margot, this actress Margot Martindale, was in the film with her, and they were at the supermarket together. They were on location somewhere, and like a lady came up and was just going, "Oh, Miss Streep, can I have a photo with you? Oh, I love you, all your films," and she just went, "Oh gosh, thank you so much, but no, sorry, I'm not working today," and just went on, trolleyed on. Isn't that good? I think that's what you're saying. Like when I go to a premiere or an event or whatever, or a thing where I'm working, if I'm expecting people to, if it's like photographers and one of those things, then I totally think it's absolutely appropriate that I do all that stuff. But then to a point, I'm not a sort of little puppet, but up to a point, there's this point when it stops and you can have fun. But like when I'm just out with friends and stuff like that, it gets a little weird. And also, that's why I think I love living where I do in East Village, because I think people know me and they kind of, for the most part, let me get on with it. And also, but I realise what I've also done is I've got a house now in New York big enough so that I can have everyone come to my house. And I've also got my own bar, so I could just go there. It's my bar. I've just made my entire... So I'll eventually have a theme park and I'll just live in my own theme park.
And a cruise ship.
And a cruise ship, yeah, yeah.
I'd like to go on another cruise, wouldn't you?
Totally. Do you know, I'm obsessed with the Queen Mary across across the Atlantic.
Oh, you've done that a few times, haven't you, now with your mum?
I've done it twice with my mum, and I thought it was going to be the most old fuddy-duddy thing, and you know, and it kind of is actually, but it's also got these fascinating lectures about, lectures about, you know, steam trains in the 19th century, stuff like that. I think, oh my God, you think, God, this is fascinating. And like my mum was learning to play bridge, and Grant went to some funny class the time we did it. And, you know, there's all these fascinating things. And then there's like all the normal sort of the show busy things at night, but there was a piano recital and all these. I just loved it. And then, you know, and also people on it are quite old. So if they do kind of try and, you know, talk to me, I just run. I leave my cabin. I leave my cabin and I run because I know they won't be able to keep up with
me.
And,
but I think there's something really nice about, it's the same with long train journeys, which is that you are actually forced to just relax. You know, you there isn't any other distractions. And, you know, in a lot of those places, there's no... Like on the cruise, there's no internet, and you just actually, you know, got this amount of time when there's nothing to do. I love it.
And it's like that thing of, it should take that long. Do you know what I mean? That's what I really loved about it. You really felt you'd gone somewhere, and you really felt you'd traveled. And it really, you know, it's that thing like in Shakespeare says about, I have gained my experience. And I really felt like I had, by the time we got to Southampton, I felt like it was a relaxing, lovely time. I met fascinating people. We had a laugh. I got to spend real time with my mom. You know, we all got dressed up as a 1920s night one night and I was dancing with her. It was just magical. And as well as it being, I love sleeping on a train or a boat. It was just great. But I think that thing that we're so used to, you know, like I was thinking the last time I was in Australia, I left Australia early in the morning. I went to LA and I went to the Golden Globes that night, like in the same day. It's just not, that's not right. Do you know what I mean? That's not right for your body. It's too much. And it's actually lovely when your journey takes the time that you sort of feel that your body is caught up with you. Yeah.
It's something about being at sea as well, which is, I think, is really good for you. You know, there's obviously the air is good. When my mum died recently, me and my brother and my dad, we rather than getting a flight back to the UK, we got a boat from.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And it was. It was actually, it's strangely a really happy memory for all of us. That weird time, you know, we're in deep, deep grief. And we got this boat and we all had our own little cabins and we got the ferry over. And it was something like, I think it was about 25 hours at sea. And it was really, really good for us. And we had lovely talks and, you know, we were doing something and going somewhere, and it was almost like, you know, we were sort of, I don't know, it was a really kind of.
But you take a breath,
time.
Don't you? You take a little moment away from your life and just focus. I think that's a lovely thing. Maybe that's what we should do then. Maybe we should do the Queen Mary.
Yes.
Oh wow, I'd love to. Let's do that.
Not the Santander Ferry. Although that Santander Ferry, the one you got, Susie, it's I've done that one, and it's famously rough. You got lucky. Sometimes it's no time to chat. You're just vomiting.
Yeah, so, I've done it in bad weather many, many years ago. And it was because you're crossing the Bay of Biscay, aren't you?
But the Queen Mary is so big, you wouldn't even notice, would you, a storm, I guess?
But I think the ghost of Phyllis was getting us on a really smooth sea.
Phyllis.
That's
so nice.
But we've got our new holiday coming up, haven't we? We're all meeting up in Scotland.
We're all meeting up in Scotland, yes, indeed. And I am going to be doing that show with Miriam Margolyes now. It's on.
Oh,
wow.
Yes. I'm going round a van for 3 weeks around Scotland with Miriam Margolyes doing a show for, it's now Channel 4. So I'll be popping in and out of
the van with Miriam Margolyes. That'll be a challenge.
do you know what's so funny? I mean, she wrote me and said, she said, oh, darling, I'm so looking forward to our Thelma and Louise. Thanks for letting a smelly old dyke tag along. That's what she said. She wrote to me that in an email. And then when I just before I left to come here, I had lunch with Dan Radcliffe. And, you know, he knows her from Harry Potter. She played something in Harry Potter. And so he said it was so hilarious because she was so inappropriate. She'd be swearing in makeup. All these kids, you know, she was little, you know, Harry Potter kids, swearing in makeup and just farting. Like she would just fart really loudly and smellily in makeup and not care. And so when I said, you'll never guess, I'm going on this, doing this travel show with Miriam. I'm going to be going around Scotland in a van. And he just looked at me and totally seriously went, Alan, the farts. That's what he said.
In a van.
Oh, in a van. God.
At least it'll be some of the windows open.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. That's my. So I might be asphyxiated by Miriam's farts the next time you see me.
Oh my God! What's that? You have to have some of what's that lovely marijuana things that you can get in tablet form nowadays?
CBD.
Yeah, you have to have some of that all the way there.
I'd just like to be numb. Yes, to be drugged.
But also, of course, we're all wearing masks anyway, so you can just keep the mask on, the special sort of fart filter mask, I suppose, extra charcoal or something.
So Susie and Andy, my lovely besties, thank you for taking a trip down memory lane with me today. And I think this really means we're going to start planning our next big adventure together, okay?
Yes, please.
Disguises and high seas. I think that's what we've got to emulate.
Oh, we love you both. Have a lovely
rest
of
days. Love you, love
Take
you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Well, now it's time to put that lovely picture of Andrew and Sue and Sue's t-shirt and the sugar cube back on my shelves. I hope you've enjoyed this little reminiscence with old chums. And I hope you'll join me next time on Alan Cumming Shelves. Alan Cumming Shelves is hosted by me, Alan Cumming, and produced by the lovely Jack Claremont. We are part of the Acast Creator Network and the Crowd Network too. We just love networks. Another Crowd Network podcast to check out is Unaccountable. It's a podcast fighting for police accountability in the United States. It's a podcast that tells the stories of innocent people who've been killed by the police, just like George Floyd, but also people like Mohammed Muhaimin, Shacey House and Carrie Illich. And so many more you haven't heard about, but you really should have. The stories can be difficult to listen to, but this could be the most important podcast you'll ever hear. It's a podcast fighting for change, and we need to join that fight. Just search for Unaccountable in your podcast app now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.